Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com. Emergency show. I'm having to help my good friend Kathy with Kathy's Distant Echoes. She lost her computer. I was sitting there listening to her show with her good friend Nick, and she was out there doing her thing. And I thought, she appears to be back on her show. So I don't know if this is going to be necessary, but anyway, I'll just do a general purpose show. So let me just see, are you guys still needing me to do this? Anyway, I'm just on air, fastest show I've ever set up, man. I was running for the studio to get this going. And let's see, I've got chat. Let me just see if I've got a chat room going. And I think we do. I'll go ahead and put together a quick medium ship show here and see if anybody even shows up. This is not my normal thing. I'm going to go ahead and play some music while I get the things going here and keep that up until we get this all figured out. Here we go.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com.
Kingdom of Gold and broadcasting from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
But I'll tell you one thing, if you wait, it'll be a crying shame.
Hey, John.
Hey, I'm here. This is a
Hey, John. How are you, brother?
We are linked up through the magic of radio and telecommunications magicness. Two studios linked together live on two shows at the same time on BTR. What can I say? Hello, guys.
We don't know where Nick left off, so he's going to start it again. So you get to hear it from the beginning, John.
It was just I envisioned a nuclear burst, and it was just like Canada and the East Coast just disappeared. And I went, I can save this show. I can do something. So anyway, I just wanted to pop in and say I'm here. I was trying to help.
Thank you so much. Bless your heart.
You're welcome.
Very much appreciate
Thank you
that,
very though. Much. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Okay. I'll be sitting here rebroadcasting your show.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. And sorry about that for the delay, but we were thanking John for piping us into his show. Oh, my goodness, what a treat and what a blessing he is to do all this and get all excited with us. But my phone went out, and I do apologize. That messed up Nick on talking, and he's just going to start his poem again, if y'all don't mind, but because we don't know where it stopped at. But anyway, we have our GRI Soul Stream, who is the one that has been so wonderful in helping to try to get us back up here. And that's our John. He has a show over there of his own, and it's fantastic. We also have our Janet Caldwell, who is a wonderful lady. We just love her to pieces. Our beautiful Lynn, who has a show here every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And she was her and Rihanna over there in the U.K., along with Nancy and the rest of them. Now our Nancy Mum is here, and our Nancy Sky. And all of them were just sending loving prayers and all that to get it up back up and running. And it worked quickly because it usually takes me longer than this to get my computer recalibrated to go the way I want to. But anyway, we also have our beautiful Skidge. And welcome, everybody, and thank you all so much for your prayers. It really helped. I know it did. Okay, Nick. Breather.
Yeah, guys, wow, I really do apologize for that. I was just getting into rhythm, too, and I'm thinking, who the heck keeps calling in? Somebody keeps calling and calling and calling. What's going on? I'm just going to try to ignore it. No. And then I finally said, Kathy, are you there? What's going on? And it was dead air. Oh, no.
Well, hopefully it'll hang out. So cross your fingers, say a prayer, and back to you, Nick.
All right, yeah. You know what? I'll just start it from the beginning, guys. I don't know how much you heard, so it's well worth it. I think so, anyway. I really enjoyed writing this. The Azazel Alliance. I surfed the comet's tail on a predetermined course. A galaxy around me formed, powered by primal source. Intelligence of vast degree was hurled into space, as planets formed in the void at a blissful pace. I was startled by a visitor in crimson battle armor. For a moment, I thought that he was paying back a favor. With neat goatee and long black hair, his eyes a glowing red, Lord Azazel, a friend of old, meant everything he said. He told me a curious tale of a past I'd not been told, of an act at birth in secrecy, an old prophecy foretold. On my first day in a cruel world, my soul was split in two. I'd not remembered, for I was too young, so he took up his cue. The other part, removed from me, was taken far away and hidden in a realm where angels often play. As the second son to an immortal king, I'd never wear that crown, so I'd spent the ages exploring wisdom under sages of renown. Azazel asked some pointed questions that caused no small discomfort, and implored me to examine an interference this overt. I had spent mere months on my world of birth, for I was always sent abroad, so I was unaware of court intrigue and that the front was a facade. My father was in the process to trade my soul away, to Yaldabaoth, a cosmic creator in the swirling Milky Way.
Azazel had a vested interest to see this didn't happen, for this being was his enemy, a special kind of demon. I could not find reflective words for what I felt inside, but there never really was a choice to confront or run and hide. We shot through space and settled down at the chamber's outer door, but a phalanx of the palace guard refused our entry to the floor. Azazel was poised to strike, but the guards would pose no threat. So I uttered up an incantation that had never failed me yet. The wave that formed they could not see, but dampened every sound and overwhelmed their senses as they slid slowly to the ground. I reached for the door, but drew back quickly, for something was amiss. The energy I sensed inside was from a dark abyss. I sensed primal rage and hatred and a hunger never sated, and a horde of beasts on the other side. For us they had waited. We took to flight and landed on the third floor balcony, then slipped inside as the room yawned wide, moving through it briskly. I drew some symbols in the air at the top of the staircase, followed by an incantation for escaping, just in case. We changed our templates and frequencies and went directly to the hall, where my father sat in regal splendor, backdrop by a golden wall. But it was not my father sitting, but a hideous dark beast, and on one side Yaldabaoth snorted, enjoying his sick feast. They were preying on my countrymen, eating them alive, aided by a sort of demons who were together like a hive. I did not believe when I'd been told my family was replaced, but I could see with my own eyes that that trust was not misplaced. A loud alarm sounded through the castle as the palace guards were found, so we made our way to the upstairs room, which their force would soon surround. An army formed with bristling weapons high in the violet sky. As I spoke the words and opened the door, they ushered up a cry. Stepping through into Sunny Meadow, it quickly sealed shut. Mountains soared and split the sky on this alien planet. Darkened shapes swam the heavens on a gentle cosmic current as lightning pierced the orange sky in a pattern that was ancient. I sought the aid of a wizened soul, the queen of this very land, whom I had helped in a time long past and had played no small hand. Azazel thought this a waste of time, for his men must all be freed. Only then could we retrieve my soul and their skills we'd need. The stirrings of suspicion was like a coiled snake, so I sent him on to our first rescue and our first jailbreak. My dragon escort arrived in style, in a diamond head formation. I changed my template and took to the sky, in every way a dragon. We touched down on hollow ground outside the crystal cave, as my teacher through the many cycles offered up a wave. Queen Bialoset is a sorceress who ruled this dragon place. Her great wisdom was legendary, far out in cosmic space. As a teacher she gave challenges, her lessons never easy, and all royalty was stripped from me, which I accepted freely. The dragon template I now wore was made specifically for me, as a parting gift after years of study from my dragon family. The generals gathered to hear my message, for I just might need their aid as I explained my problem and all the things Azazel had said. I was touched by their overt concern, and to the questions I replied. One stepped forward and touched my arm and then took me aside. A great general named Bonnell said I'd have their full support, and when the time was right and I needed them, they would be my escort. The queen approached with a silent smile, pleased she could take action, and the generals flew off to attend their troops with enormous satisfaction. She'd use her skills.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Thank you.
doing a very special show. I jumped in. It's been a little chaotic here, getting things going. My friend Kathy Bradshaw over at Kathy's Distant Echoes was broadcasting her show with Nick, her friend there, who was reading some poetry, and I just happened to be listening in, and they were having troubles. And I heard that Kathy could not get back in, so I jumped into action, grabbed my studio, and got it back up and running. And in 2 minutes, I had a show up and was able to tie in just about the time that Kathy finally resolved her issues. So we're on the air, and I did a real fun mediumship show last night. So I've kind of I was rebroadcasting Kathy's show. I'm still linked into her right now. But I'm just going to go ahead and do my own show. So it looks like they're pretty much back into a normal rhythm there. And I've got Facebook up. I'm just going to pop on there and just say that I'm running mediumship right now for those folks out there that are listening in. So doing my show right now. Now, Kathy, A-OK, and I'll do, I'm doing mediumship now until 5 p.m. So, not my normal schedule at all. Looks like we had one visitor, they dropped out, so I'm just going to go ahead and make this thing work and see who we get to pop in from Facebook and all that. I have been pretty busy, a lot of things going on here. As some of you know, I've been going through you know, a lot of personal adjustments with the passing of my father, and a lot of neat things happening around the house. We've had a haunting that's been going on for some time, and we're noticing that we're getting lots of knocks and bangs in the evening hours. We're hearing multiple phenomena. Multiple people reporting that they're having experiences in and around our home on our property. And so I'll just talk a little bit about that and just sit here and wing it. I'm sure no one is listening right now. But, you know, this is the kind of thing. When you're doing this kind of work, you just get in and do your show and go from there. Let's see. I'm just going to look at some of my friends out here on Face and see what's going on. Marie D. Jones, I always like her. She says here, words are meaningless, actions count. So I guess that means that me jumping in and doing this show must count for something, even though I probably have not a single listener. So I am just going to go ahead and have some fun. I've got some EVPs I can play here on air, and I think I'll just go ahead and do that. Let's go to my website. I run a paranormal team out of the Gold Rush country. It's called Ghost Rider Investigations. And what we do is we do a lot of cases that people go out and, you know, a lot of organizations go out and do their investigations, you know, for clients and in their homes and things like that. We go to historic locations a lot. That's sort of our specialty. We go out, do outdoor cases. We'll go camp out and head into different kinds of cases that other people don't normally do. Some of the areas we're going are going to be – oh, I see Skidge out there. Hi, Skidge. Good to see you. We've got a listener. I've got one. We got one. So we're just going to go ahead and make this work. I started with the best of intentions, and now it's going like crazy. And Nancy has popped in, and I'm just going to say, got it. Got show running right now. Doing whatever. This is a whatever show. So I just popped in, and Nancy just got something. And hi, Skidge. Good to see you. And I'm just going to play a little evidence from some of our cases. Hi, asterisk there, asterisk. Okay, so I am going to go ahead and just have some fun with some of our past cases and things like that that we've done and talk about where we're going. We have done a bunch of work on USS Hornet. As a matter of fact, I've got one from April 20th. We loaded some audio from our case out there. And I used a new type of recorder in this investigation called a Santa Clip MP3 recorder. And it's basically a wearable recorder. You can actually strap this thing onto your wrist. And we were, and she just dropped out, so we lost our one listener, but what the heck. Anyway, you know, I've got this evidence here from USS Hornet with this particular recorder, and I'm just going to go ahead and play it. And here we go. Try to listen ghosts talk. This is a good one. The spirit was kind of upset because basically telling us to shut up so that they could get what they had to say out to us. So here they go. Okay, I don't know if you heard that. Let me try it again. Yeah, you can really hear that. Let me play it one more time. Try to listen, ghost talk. And that was that's a Class B. Not your clearest one, but definitely a good one. Here's a reverse EVP. We get these, a lot of these reverse EVPs where they'll speak in reverse. And for whatever reason, they don't sound quite right. And then when we reverse them, it becomes clear what the spirit was intending to say. And the mechanism for them speaking, it seems to just be a case where they get it in reverse. And we don't know why. So here we go. Who loves me?
I remember this room.
You're right there at the very end. You hear, who loves me? Here we go again.
I remember this room.
Let me try it one more time.
I remember this room.
Yeah, who loves me? Right at the very end. And I see we have a few visitors out there tuning in. Not my normal show by any stretch of the imagination. And so I see Skidge is back. Good to see you. Nancy's here. Hi, Nancy. Good to see you. And she was my co-host last night. We had a great mediumship show last night. And Eden 44 is here. So I've got three of them. Just putting a show together on the fly, man. So it's an on-the-fly show. So anyway, I don't know if Nancy will dial in and say hello, but I'm going to wing it here. Oh. Right on cue, here she comes. So let me go ahead and bring her in. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, you've reached Time Life Warner. We'd like to sell you some magazines. Hello? Yes? Your credit card?
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Oh, you have credit. You'll give us credit card. We take credit cards and you things. Okay.
I don't understand that.
Oh, okay. You're happy. I'm happy. Hello, my dear.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
I'm in a hot studio. I just reacted. It's like I saw Kathy in trouble, and I immediately sprang into action. I mean, I tore out of the house and ran for the studio. I'm flipping switches on. Everything was coming online. I'm going, Oh crap, I got to turn that, I got to do that, and I'm turning it all on, and I made it with like 30 seconds to spare to get tied in when the show started, so that was a fast start. That was quick.
How many people contacted you?
I was just sitting there talking in the chat room when I saw it happen, and then I mentioned, well, maybe I could do something with that, and then by the time it all, I tried to message Kathy, and I found out her computer was down. And so I went ahead and, just said, what the hell with it? I'll just fire it up. If they need me, great. If not, I'll do a show. So I'm in here doing a very much unplanned show, and I haven't even meditated to do any mediumship, but what the hell? Let's just wing it. So we'll give it a whirl and see where we go. But anyway, the mind lamp has turned a perfect shade of pink with you here. So you are the object of love, my dear. You're a loving soul, and it's just this deep, deep pink color. I've got to get that camera hooked back up so we can transmit pictures of that, live from the studio. But anyway, I just got done plumbing. I've been out. I was out doing plumbing, and I decided to come back in and take a break from the heat. And I'm currently wearing all my farm attire here in the studio. I've got muddy pants on. I'm just sitting here doing this. This is like great.
which proves to me that you can do mediumship anywhere, even plumbers. Hey, wait a minute. There's some paranormal guys that have a show called Tats that do that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not the first.
Yes, they
do. Yeah, but, you know, you never see them anymore with their plumbing kind of history. They've kind of gone totally away from that. It's like they've gotten away from Roto-Rooter completely, but I haven't forgotten that. I should have had them out to fix my head. Yeah. Plus, you know, after my show last night, I mean, you saw some of my posts on Facebook about the things that were happening post-show. I got done with the show about 12:30 last night, went up to the house, got in the door, went and grabbed something out of the fridge, you know, and was drinking some water, and was just sitting back, and I went to my room and just laid down. The minute I laid down, the woman's voice starts again, you know, and we've been having, everybody who's been to the house is saying, I'm hearing somebody talking, everybody, you know, and so we're all hearing this, and we're all seeing shadows around the corners, and last night was just another round of it, just this endless chatter and talking, and then we had some bumps. Now, I had some bumps on the wall here in the studio while I was all live on the air. My mother was sitting up there during the show. She wasn't listening in, and this morning she says, you weren't up at the house at like 10:30. I went, no, I was well ensconced in my show, and she goes, well, something was banging up around up in the attic and up on the roof, and she thought it was a raccoon. And so she goes outside, and there's nothing there. So we were having, post-show, we've got somebody or something out there making its presence known, you know, post-show. And, you know, it doesn't seem threatening. It just seems like it's trying to get our attention. So I don't know that it's family. I mean, I'm really kind of mixed up here. I mean, some of the voice sounds like a relative of mine, but I'm not sure. And it's just low enough I can't quite pick out the words. You know, it's just.
But didn't you say something that you thought it might have been a relative because of something, how they were speaking or the lilt in their voice or something like that?
Yeah, it sounded like my mother's side of the family have a particular kind of way of talking. It's sort of, they have a particular twang in their voice. You know, they're all Scottish Highlanders who came through Kansas. Before they ended up on the west coast, and that family has a particular accent, and so it's now the women especially have it, and so it was really notable to hear that, and I heard that in the voice. If I had to guess, I think it would be my Aunt Lee, who pops in now and then, and I think she's making her presence known, but it would be a real guess that it's her. But then I've got all this knocking and banging going on in two buildings now. So we're kind of scratching our heads about this because it's like somebody's trying to get our attention, you know. And you know, mom's recovering pretty well from the surgery, so it's not like we've got any worry going on that she's got an issue and I'm feeling okay.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's any big warning thing going on, but my goodness, you know, this is, you know, I don't know. Is it all the energy in the atmosphere, you know, and the eclipses and all this crazy stuff going on? I don't know. Hell, I was
going to say maybe it is the energy because right after the show, and I remember saying, nothing ever happens here, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then this shadow just goes past on the wall that I'm facing, and it's high. It's high up, you know, touching the ceiling, just kind of slowly coasts by, and then it just kind of dissolved. I don't know if it went around the corner into the closet, and I'm just sitting here, and I thought, well, I asked for that.
Yeah.
Somebody
must have
heard
me
complaining.
Well, yeah, I mean, you said, I remember you distinctly you saying that, and then when I saw it this morning on Face, I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I was like, I think you've got somebody there. I mean, what do you think it was? You think it was one of your family?
Well, you know, I've been thinking, really thinking about this because most of the people that I see are my mom and my dad. And then I am wondering, now my dad has a quirky sense of humor. My dad would do something like that. If he wouldn't come by as that shadow, he would send somebody over there, go ahead. I want you to wake up my kid. You know, she says nothing ever happens here. So, you know, just kind of float past her. My dad would do something like that. So I bet you it's John.
Yeah, I would bet a family member responsible for that. I mean, that just
yep.
that's the thing here. I mean, and the other thing is when you go out on investigations like I'm doing, sometimes you stir things up. Like we were at the Truckee Hotel, and I just have a feeling that when we did that mission, it was just, oh my goodness, it was right in the middle of basically renovating the entire hotel. Everything was ripped apart, and floors 2 and 3 were completely torn up.
Wow.
And they were going to work on floor number 4, and we had everything. We've got it on video of us in room 301 with orbs shooting at us, shooting at one of the other team members, and then one at me. And I had my whole right side went frozen. The other team member was went completely after him. We had knocking. We caught on video. Class A EVPs at the Yin Yang, all kinds of stuff was going on. And I kind of noticed since then we've had this escalation. So it's hard to say. I mean, I feel like there's something more going on. But, I'm going to, if I feel like it is a Trekkie thing, I'm just going to turn around at some point and tell the spirit, look, we're trying to do good for your hotel. So if you've got a problem with us, we're actually helping you. We're helping preserve what's there. Would you like that? And see if they understand that, because some ghosts get kind of pissed off when you go in there and start investigating.
Don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it actually will help them stay in business and keep the hotel from being torn down. So major hint here. We're not all bad. Those crazy humans and those devices they were around trying to talk to us with. it's just darn guys. Jeez. But anyway, I feel bad. I mean, I didn't want to go in and compete with Kathy's show. So, I mean, this is going to be more like people listening in on archive, and doing their thing. But, I may even just cut it short, probably at 4 o'clock, I might just hang it up and go back to what I was doing, which was relaxing after the plumbing. plumbing is a very honest trade. I mean, it's either it works or it don't. And dear God, if I hear the word rainbird though one more time, I'm just gonna freak out.
Oh no.
Anyway, those impact sprinklers that kind of go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been sitting there fighting the battle with these, and I was trying to get one of the pipes adjusted, and I broke the pipe. And of course, I had to dig a two foot hole down to get to where I found out my father did a really bad job, and so it was like it just became magnified. So I was out there for 2 hours digging, and I was looking at my father's handiwork, going, "What were you thinking?" So I was in the mud, getting that all cut up, and oh God, got it all up and running, and then that sprinkler had seized, and it was a brand new one. So I went down to Ace and got the parts, I came back, I bought a metal one. I put, paid $12 for just this one sprinkler head. And now the thing's running great. So, I'm done with plumbing for, I was going to go outside and do more, but I'm done. You've been very good about warning me to keep pushing this, And so I'll do what I can do, and then I'm done for the day. So to hell with
you have to have common sense about it. You have to have common sense about it because it's a whole great big project, and if you try and get it all done right away, you're going to burn yourself out, and then your back will go out, and then you won't be able to get it done for another 6 more months because then you'll have to go through all that physical therapy. So I'm looking at the worst-case scenario, and I'm trying to prevent you from going there. That's my job.
Okay. Well, all I can say is we right now where I'm at, I've got the back lawns and all the back garden are all automated waterers are running. We've got some damage to repair in there. It's funny. I mean, my father's death. I mean, he fought me. It's funny. Towards the end of his life, he fought me one side and down the other about getting all these things done, and he would go in and actually sabotage things I was doing. And finally, I just threw my hands up and said, until he's gone and out of the way, I can't do anything at this place. And my mother understood. So we just sat back and waited, and we took care of him and honored him and went through all of that. And then when it was, when it finally was over with, we've gone through the surgeries and all this. This is actually the first time I've turned my attention to the place. And
when I got looking, I went, it was, I actually almost cried. I was like, oh dear God, it's all broken everywhere. And so now it's like, we've got systems are coming back online, but I'm just going to pace myself. And I think it'll take about a year to fully get it where I'm feeling comfortable with, you know, having everything as automated as I can. My poor mother cannot lift anymore. This hernia surgery, she had double hernias, massive ones, both sides of her abdomen. And she cannot listening, or she cannot lift anything ever again beyond 20 pounds. So it's just one of those things. I'm at the point now where I'm running around, I'm looking at everything with a real careful eye, saying, okay, she's, you know, when I really watch what she tries to do, she's dragging hoses, and it's like, I can fix that. So, you know, a few $100, you know, and some sweat equity to get this place squared away with all that, that'll work out great. So and she's basically down for the rest of the year. I see you, Carrie. I see you in South Africa. You're in South Africa. Hello, how are you doing? I'm in North America. I'm in the West Coast. I'm above Mexico.
But you know, your mom shouldn't be doing too much lifting anyway, because, you know, of her age, period.
Yeah, she went through 5 years of taking care of him, and it was total caregiver.
Yep.
Caregivers really pay the price somebody who... And to take care of that, and he was especially hard because he got mental at the end there, and he was really getting, then he was falling over, and when he would fall, he would grab her, and it was so funny. We had a friend of the family here at the house yesterday who's basically he's not long for the world. Same mm-hmm. sorts of, it was really kind of, I was really upset before the show because it was like watching my father again at the month before he passed stage, where he was just, yeah, you'd have to help him to do everything. He could not walk. Yeah. He would tilt forward and just start running, and you had to catch up with him and grab him before he went face down. And that's what happened, you know, with this friend of ours. And we went out to lunch, and it was just like I had to take a deep breath after he left, and was like, I'm not sure I'll see him again, you know, because he's in that bad a shape. But it brought back all that stuff that we went through in January and February, which was just awful. But God darn, let me tell you, now that we're in this position, you know, and things are looking up, you know, for our own needs here and the things that we're going through, it is good to be back on the air and to have the studio where I'm going to be making changes. And we've made some decisions, you know, as a little family here. My old place I stayed, which is behind the main ranch house, we're going to empty that all out. And it's going to be the evidence studio for GRI, and it'll also be where I do some voiceover work and meditation, and also readings for people. If they come over, we can go down there and just sit, and I can do my readings there. So I'm going to turn that into kind of that place, and the studio will be pure studio, no more trying to do electronics in here and the studio work. It'll also have a little meditation cove in here, and we're going to kind of redo everything. So the course of the next year, it will all transform, and it's really going to be it'll be a showpiece when we get done. So really looking forward to it all. I feel some good things coming down the road, and I think my dad would approve, you know, and he's been around. He checks in on us. You see him, you know. We see him pop around the corner real quick, and he checks on us, and then he's gone, you know, and my mother is getting really – My mother is just sitting there going, Al, would you please just stay so I could see you for, you know, more than a few seconds? You know, and mm-hmm. I think it's something that he can't do. I think he would if he could. But, oh, dear God, you know, just so much going on. But, yeah, I had no idea I'd be sitting here in front of this microphone again so quick. I usually have my shows all planned out, you know.
You know, I think your dad, on the other side, everything is going so fast. I have this picture of your dad, okay? I see your dad's face, and then it's hooked onto this ball of light, and he is flying and zipping and flying and zipping, and he's just kind of looking at everybody and everything as he's zipping past. And I see him occasionally, and I don't know why, but I do see him occasionally, and he's got this big old grin on his face, John, and he is just zipping and zipping and zipping, and I think that where he is, that's the normal speed. Yeah, he maybe can't stay still.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like my mom was at a real low point just prior to the second surgery. Oh, Skidge, that's Nancy. Nancy, mom.
Hi,
she's
Skidge.
Awesome. She's my co-host here. So just she signed on and was good enough to come co-host this ad hoc on the fly show. It's on the fly show, dude. On the fly. We're surfing. So, you know, but, you know, my mom was sitting there and dad pops in and she actually got to look at him and he appeared like he was just when he passed. So he was real stooped over and old. And but when I saw him, the second time I saw him, he was like in his 30s and he was looking much, much more just full of life and just his normal self. And then the other times I've seen him, one time I saw him from the back, and he looked like he did in his 40s. So he seems to be flipping through ages. So I think he's, like, finding out which age he likes the best. And but, you know, when Mom saw him, he had his mask on, and he had his walker. And, you know, he was, pulling the oxygen cable around. And then, you know, and she saw him for, like, about 3 or 4 seconds. And then it was just, he just blanked out right in front of her. And she was wide awake. I mean, there was no sleep. It was just, she was sitting there reading, looks up, and there he is, you know.
Yeah.
And she had just been wishing that he would show himself. And so he did. Mm-hmm. He did do that. But, you know, the sightings continue. I mean, it's really strange. And then all this increase in activity. But, you know, I mean, what's neat is to hear is, you know, you go off and say, oh, yeah, there's nothing happening at my place. And then it does happen.
I'll never say that again. I know better.
Well, you know, I mean, it's I think worldwide the activity level is just off scale. I mean, I think with the sun going through all these crazy things and all the energy in the air and the eclipses and you know, I mean, I think it's just the paranormal, you know, the state of the paranormal is just all stirred up. You know,
yeah.
Nancy the electricity lady. Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm going to be getting up, by the way, tomorrow morning at about 3 o'clock. I'm setting my alarm to get up. I'm going to preload my camera and have it ready to go. I've got a brand new tripod that I'll just carry out. And I have no idea. I have a sort of an idea where the moon will be when it comes up. So I'll be able to stay on the ranch and do my shooting, you know, probably from the backyard or maybe the backfield. And I'm going to catch that. You know, I'll catch that whole thing as that event takes place, where the moon is going to go into you know, this partial eclipse. So I'm going to shoot that. And then the other thing coming up, which I really recommend to anybody who is able to get to a place where these sorts of things are being shown, will be the transit of Venus on the 6th of June. That is something that you will never, no one alive right now will be able to see the next one because it's in the year, I think, 2100 something. So it's so far out. It's like there'll be no one alive to recount the time before. And so if you can get out and see that, or you can even see it online, I mean, NASA will be broadcasting it. Get out there and see it because, you know, or look at it online and watch it live so you can say, yes, I was watching it as it happened. You know, and you can, and I'm going to photograph it with my particular camera gear. And, you know, these are special times. So I've been blown away. I mean, you know, I went to that one in Reno, you know, a few weeks ago. I was in Reno.
Yeah.
I took my mother up, and she was so blown away. She sat there, and I bought her the glasses, and she was sitting in her little chair, had a drink in her hand, and she's sitting there watching that happen. And then the cloud came in, right at mid-eclipse, these clouds came over the Sierras, and this one cloud moves right in the way, and everybody was feeling skunked. And all of a sudden, at the very midpoint of eclipse, we were all took off our glasses and we were all bummed, and all of a sudden the moon and the sun came out from behind, and it was just enough cloud that you could look safely at the whole spectacle with the naked eye. So everyone was looking up and is screaming and yelling and people are clapping. And I was just going, wow, man, you know, this is so cool. And we got, you know, there were great shots taken of that. I mean, it was probably of all the worldwide events, I think that was probably the best place to be because of the energy and the way people were And it was like God just was saying, I'm going to show you how I really do things. You know, let me show you a little trick I can do. Sleight of hand game. Here, why don't you look at this for 25 seconds? And it was the neatest 25 seconds. I mean, I've spent 30 years doing astronomy. Never had seen that before. I've seen a lot of eclipses of the moon, all sorts of different phenomena. But to see that, it was just wow. Anyway, but you know, I think it has some bearing. I don't know what it is, but I think these things kind of charge up the paranormal in a way that we don't quite understand yet. Because I mean, the activity levels are off scale. I'm not having trouble getting evidence at all right now. I mean, we go out and we're just hitting bang, 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 evidence, all over the place. So, you know, and we're going to go right back out and do another case here. What is it? In less than 2 weeks, we're going to be back on scene at a particular site in Sierras. And it's going to be a small team going in to a site never before hunted. And it's a fairly well-known location. So it's going to be nice. I'm really excited about this one because my Uncle Alan was a cook at this place and witnessed, and what happened was he witnessed spirits that were coming in and in front of people were turning on the stove. You would watch the handles on the stove turn themselves on and fire up the stoves. And would turn them off while they were cooking. You know, they were constantly being interfered with by this. You know, it was, you know, like a mischievous spirit, and it seemed to have a sense of humor. So what we're going to do is, if my mother may be able to go, but if she can't, I'm going to interview her on video as a witness. You know, because she's the only living person who remembers all this, and get her take on it, and then play that for the. When we do our interview with the proprietors of the location, we'll play my mother's video for them and say, is this approximately what you're running into now? Because if it is, it's going to be, you know, it'll add some credence to some of the sightings and things going on. They have a little girl there that is seen wandering around, and then there's a male spirit, very angry male spirit, that seems to be wandering around the upper floors. And there's a real long history to this particular location. So, it's going to be something to see. And our new format is video. We video everything now. We used to be pretty much audio only. You know, we'd take a few tools, we'd have some personal experiences, and we'd talk about our cases, and, yeah, we got something on pictures. Now we're really going video whole hog. So the YouTube channel is going to be filling up with videos. Just keep an eye on us. We've got a lot of neat stuff. Skidjug says, ghost stuff scares me. Why? What scares you about ghosties? Because they're just people without a body, you know. Yeah, and they'll occasionally tap on you. Sometimes they'll look the way they did when they died. But really, it's about all they can do. There's other things out there that in the paranormal world that can mess with you, you know. But it's not that often. Oh, scary movies. I think if you went on an investigation, Skids, I think you would find that it would be a lot more fun than you would than scary, especially if you're with a good group that will take you into a place. It's Hollywood and makeup. Yeah, right, Carrie. That's good. I don't know about Hollywood makeup. I don't know. There are diabolical spirits. Yeah, there are. There are. I've actually witnessed an attack of one in Stockton, California. We watched a someone leading us through a particular building in downtown Stockton. Actually heard the spirit yelling and screaming, and we caught that on EVP recordings. And we also, took pictures of the guy that got attacked afterwards. He was literally, it had handprints on his chest in dust and footprints on his legs. And he had been knocked down by this spirit that had run. And we had been seeing it, both him and I, Dan and I had seen this. This was like 2009 time frame, early 2010. And what it was this spirit hit him, knocked him down, and we had been seeing this black energy shifting back and forth in the doorway prior. When we had been on the roof of the building in question. We were coming back down, and I suddenly get this feeling like I got to get the team out of here. I'm feeling really scared. I don't know why, and I trust my instincts. And I'm like going, you know, I'm telling everybody, hurry it up. We got to get down. Get down to the third level. We got to go now. And we were on the fifth floor, passing through the fourth, when this guy, off to my left, I hear this guy screaming, you know, and he's yelling at me, and I'm going, am I here? Is that you, Nancy?
Yeah, that was me. Right? I'm sorry. I made a noise.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like, I'm going, there's a ghost here in the background moving furniture.
That's
y'all.
Right.
There's a ghost in the background. But, yeah, I heard this guy yelling. And when I mentioned it, Renee, one of the other mediums that was with us, she started making fun of me, saying, oh, yeah, right, you know, and she's going on. And then within 3 or 4 seconds, wham, Dan gets hit. And it hit him hard. It knocked the wind out of him. And needless to say, I pulled the plug on the investigation right then and there. And, you know, and it wasn't so much that it was diabolical. We later found out that it was a human spirit that was just, he had literally been murdered. He'd been burnt to death in an arson fire. He had been purposely killed. It was actually a murder. And so he was just trying to get out of there. And he saw the first team ever that came in, and we're talking, and he's trying to find a way to get through to us. Well, he freaks out, you know, and just overreacts and goes after us. But, you know, I've been followed by some things that I don't think were human, you know, and I've been in a particular location over by Ione that really was not a good place. And when we got back, a bunch of our team were all followed home, and we had similar experiences, and we had to take steps to get rid of these things. They were basically really trying to make their, you know, kind of come in and mess even with my family. And so there's places now that if I go in and do a pre-investigation, which we normally would do for most sites, and I just get the feeling, I won't take a team in there. Some people will hunt anything. I'm not that way. You know, I'm not about to walk into some bad situation that we're not totally prepared for, you know. There are people that are really good at that, you know, and you see a Paranormal State, you know, those guys, and you have some of the TAPS people, you know, are specialized in these areas. You know, that's where you really direct those cases to. I made friends with Kristen Gartland, you know, over on at TAPS. Met her on the USS Hornet, and she was talking about that. You know, make sure that, you know, you get hold of us if you run into something you can't handle. And it's like, you know, she meant it, and she told me that's some of the things she'd run into, and that's how she got into all this, because she had been attacked and gone through all sorts of, you know, terrible stuff. I don't think she's doing any more paranormal work. I don't see her much out there anymore. I think she's pretty much out of that whole bit. But let's see. Carrie is saying, had a spirit messing with me and my cat a few weeks ago. Had to get rid of it for a clearing. And Eden says something followed me home and attacked me 3 times. Now, Eden, you know, have you done stuff to basically, you know, what have you done to get rid of it? You know, if you want to just post it in chat there, I'll cover it. Because a lot of times, you know, people can go out and get materials like I use obsidian, or more often than not, we'll use black tourmaline. Black tourmaline is a very powerful stone, and it will protect. It's a protective stone, and so we put it all over our home here, and immediately everything stopped. It was like what it put a just total end to the whole haunt, and it did not come back. And not only that, I mean, it basically went after my mother. You know, it didn't come after me because I already had that stuff in my house, so I was sleeping down at my place. So it went after my folks, both my mom and my father. So we ended up putting it all through the house. So all through our places is black tourmaline. And it totally ended it. My father went back, started sleeping again. My mother was not having this experience of being held down, which is what she had. It's like, it has not returned. It was a spiritual war. Eden says, I believe I won, but I'm a bit worried. It has not returned physically for 5 years. Yeah, if you have not had anything going on, just you know, go through and sage your house, do all the normal stuff, you know, bless it repeatedly. You know, that's the thing is, a lot of people think, I just bless the house once and it's forever. It's like, no, it's like changing oil in your car. You know, you every few months you change oil. You go every few months you bless your home. You know, every few months you go around and check the seals on the house to make sure that, you know, from a psychic perspective, is the house clear? You know, what am I feeling? If you're not feeling it, if you're feeling some bad energy there, do something about it. Eden, she was held down. That's what happened, and it strangled me also. Yeah, that's what it was trying to do, and my mother overpowered it. And she's Scottish, and she's a medium too. And she got madder now, and she told it in the name of God to get out, and she ordered it out of the house, and it left. I mean, she called it all sorts of filthy names. I mean, once you wind up my mother, she can talk like a sailor, trust me. but she gave that thing a cussing, and in the name of God told it was never allowed in the house again and got rid of it. But that's when my dad, it started going after my dad, and he was unable to, you know, fight that off in his state. So he started complaining about nightmares, and we both looked at each other, mom and me, and I went in and just, we covered the whole rest of the house from that point on, because I thought it was just my mother it was obsessing about, but it went after him. And we took it from there. Eden, I'm a sensitive and always known good fellow. Yeah, you know what? Sensitives, all mediums and psychics can sense that stuff. You know, you do have the capacity. I tend to focus on the positive. I watch the cases I get into. I'm aware of where I'm at. You know, there's a military term called situational awareness. And when you're out on a case, with the paranormal, it's the same process. You know, you really are paying attention to what's going on. You're listening and to the team members, and now they're talking. You're watching what they're doing. You make sure that the complexion of the case is such that if people are starting to come in and they're having headaches or they're having problems, I'll pull them back out. You know, as the leader of the organization, and I'm out there on scene, I'll pull people in. And I've tagged them, and I've said, no, you can't go back in there. And they'll, you know, but I want to do it. No, you're gonna take a break. And then we'll put somebody in there that's maybe geared more for that's had some experience and is a little more acclimated to dealing with negative things, and go in, and then we see what we really got. So, and the other thing is in investigations, we never let people go off just alone. I've had to really pull people in by the face and say, you cannot do that. You have to have a team member with you. And that's a safety thing, and just from a regular safety aspect. But the other is just having, two people can't not more easily be overpowered than one. You know, an entity would have to really deal with the fact that there's a second person there who could call in for help, and then it has to deal with all these other forces that can be drawn in on it. So, aha, it went into others. That is what I fear, and I've sensed multiple spirits in it. Yeah, these things are out there. You know, it's funny. I had Debbie Constantino, Mark and Debbie Constantino, on my show years ago, and Debbie was telling me about that, and she said she was mentioning that these things are like sharks. They cruise around, and they're out there, you know. But if you're aware of what you're going through, you're aware of the case that you're on, and you're really watching, you're more often than not going to run into some, you know, real dark thing, you know. So I've been on probably 100 cases now, and we've had that one thing, you know, with Ione, and we've had the one attack where we had a human entity that was freaking out. That's all. But all the other cases we've had, nah. You know, I mean, it's the one or two out of 100 that you'll have an incident, and we knew how to handle it. And if we can't handle it, we're going to be smart enough to know to refer it on to somebody who can help us. And bring them in, you know, because that's out there. So, you know, but Eden, I was just going to wonder, do you have training in this area with your skill set? Because if you don't, it would be a real good idea to actually get some training on that area. And if you, when you're working in paranormal investigation, it's a real good idea I'm trying to put the words in here. It's a good idea to have some meditation techniques and some protection techniques that you can use. Yeah, now one of the things in my mediumship training course that I went through is that you can actually do a meditation which you imagine a series of doors, screen doors, and as you walk through each screen door, you don't open the screen door, you walk through it, and you imagine your energy field being cleaned by this. And the colors that are used are gold and white. So you imagine golden white energy permeating through the screen doors. And as you walk through each screen door, the mesh gets finer and finer. And what you do is you go through as many as these of these screen doors as you feel you need to in your meditation. And you'll find that you you'll walk out to the side and your energetic field will be much more clean and stable, and you'll feel better all the way around. Now, and it's something that I do pretty much at before every show. Now, today I'm not doing much mediumship. You know, I've got nobody calling in for readings, and I didn't get to do that. But I could just take a quick break and play some music, and I could do that. I could just do a snap read and get myself ready and be set to to read. But when you're doing work in the paranormal, when we go out on cases, I do that. I actually go through the screen door meditation, get do the cleaning, and then I watch the other team members, and if they're feeling scared or anything, then we just get everybody to go and say, okay, everybody, we're going to get around and do a prayer and for protection, and then get them instructed in that. I am sure that TAPS and some of the other groups do this too. I tend to think that it's a fairly common practice. Have the spiritual protection. Even the Ghost Adventures guys talk about that. They have a very strong religious affiliation, and they have they're getting more and more spiritual. A lot of people really think those guys are like way over the top, and they have no common sense. Actually, they're pretty. If you really listen to them and you read the things that they're really into, and what they're really talking about, you'll find out. They're pretty actually ethical. The only area I have some trouble with is sometimes they push it a little far and antagonizing, something we don't do. But they have their methods and I have mine, and I still respect what they're about because those guys just do some amazing work. I mean, the technical contributions they've made to the paranormal have been awesome. I mean, you see the devices they bring out, and every year it's something new that is really relevant, and a lot of people go out and try it, and they find out it works, the SB7, Chris Fleming brought that out, and then Ghost Adventures crew went out and started using it, and wow, and then we've tried it, and we've gotten great results. We got some stuff in Truckee that we'll put out on video with responses and names, that we got on the second floor when we were out there. Wow, look at all the people. Oh, it's 404, yeah. I guess. Kathy is out there. I see you, Kathy. I feel so bad. I mean, because I saw what was going on with your show, and I was like, oh, God, I'll swing into action and do something cool. And I left my computers on. I'd forgotten to shut them down. So thank God, because they were all booted up, and I had the studio up and running in 2 minutes flat, and was like, wow. So we rebroadcast part of your show, and we learned something new. We actually can link shows together on BTR. So actually, I can dial in, and I did for a little while. I dialed in and rebroadcast part of Kathy's show. And then when I realized that they were okay and they didn't need me anymore, I dropped off and we just went ahead and started this up. But, that actually illustrates something. We can actually link up multiple shows and have hosts all dial into each other's show and have this massive show thing. And it's like I'm not into numbers. I really don't care how many folks listen, because I'm just having a great time. I do this work. So, it's not like it's going to, a numbers thing. I just think from a technical perspective, though, linking shows together is just a neat idea, and you just wonder about it, and now I've done it, it actually works. So we learned something. Let's see who's out there. We've got Rihanna is sitting there guided, John with smiles. We got Kathy Siston Echoes, Eden 44, Gina Marie out there in Georgia is with us. Nancy Mom, my co-host right now. Nancy Sky is here again. Good to see you. Rihanna is here. Rod and Creel. I haven't been trout fishing in a while. I've been thinking about my rod and creel. Skidge is here, and we have Carrie from South Africa. Is here. And we're doing, I think I'm going to do a quick station break and run up and grab something to drink because I have not set up at all in the studio, and I'm getting really thirsty. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. I will do a little bit of meditation. And then I'll open up for readings, and we'll see how it goes. So kind of a special show. So if you guys want to just take a break and I'll visit the local watering hole, whatever that might be, we will be back in 2 minutes and 37 seconds. So I'm going to tear up and grab a 7-Up and some ice and be right back. So this is SoulStream Live on blogtalkradio.com, Sunday edition.
Live from our studios in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to SoulStream on blogtalkradio.com. To you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to SoulStream on blogtalkradio.com. Relatives on my mom's side, my great-grandfather McHenry, FBI man, and one kick-ass agent. He was a founding grandfather agent in the agency, and a very fearsome man to piss off. and then my other grandfather, A.J. Stanley, and he was also quite the lawman, and he actually got into some legendary Western gun battles out here in Northern California. He was the only law from Paradise to Reno, down towards Sacramento, and back again. He would ride horseback. I have a strong law enforcement connection in the family with some actual gunfighters. And who knew I would be a medium? I should have been a gunfighter, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, we are back, and I did a little bit of meditation to get ready to do some readings, and we're doing a unplanned show, and my friend Nancy Mum is here. Nancy.
Yes, I am. Yes,
Nancy
John.
Nancy Mom. Hurrah.
You know, my late husband, his mom on her side of the family,
they had some outlaws. I don't know what their names were or anything like that, but one guy got sent to the cooler, and I think they had to hang him or something like that. You know, there was some kind of craziness going on. Yeah, no. I don't know.
Got sent to the cooler. Yeah.
Yes.
What is this man doing here? Send him to the cooler.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I had. I'm a direct descendant of Rob Roy MacGregor. Speaking of outlaws, I have a famous Scottish outlaw for an ancestor. So I've got these lawmen and I've got outlaws on all the same family. It's kind of a very confused existence, you know. And then, you know, my father liked to just blow everything to all to hell with the kind of work he did. He vaporized a lot of laboratories. I mean, you know, it's really fun when you have these kinds of people grow up in your house and they're bringing, you know, I actually got to meet some of the Project Paperclip scientists when they came over from, and they were working with the company my dad was with. And so we had Nazis at the house for dinner. And they were some pretty interesting folks. And we had one that was pounding on the table with, was banging, got in an argument about World War II, and he was yelling about how Hitler was right, and he's saying all these terrible things, and we're all like, okay, we got him wound up.
Where's his gun?
I'm kind of glad we won the war. You go back to your lab, buddy. So, yeah, but it's good to be here. I don't see any callers yet. We're going to go ahead and do some readings. 646-478-0377. You'll very like the readings. I'm making fun here. Mind Lamp has turned a perfect shade of purple, very spiritual. I did the fastest meditation I've done in a while, so I'm ready to read for those who want to dial in. If not, we're going to wing it, my dear.
Okay.
We'll just sit here. And if somebody wants to ask, yeah, go back to your straight jacket. Yeah, right. Carrie,
no.
You're not even dialing in. I mean, you're not even dialing in from South Africa. So, you know, you want to tell me about straitjacket, you have to say it in your native language to me. You can't just do that in text. You have to speak. So, yeah, I'm trying to rope her in so I get somebody on here. But let's see, we got Senior GP is here. We got Carrie. Anybody new join us? Cap 11 is there.
Cap 11. Mm-hmm.
Well... Oh, you haven't asked me. It's English. Yes, but you have a peculiar form of English in South Africa. So, yes, if you want to call in, feel free to call in. All right? There you go. Rihanna, hi, my senor. Senor GP, hello. How are you? And all this blue energy is coming on the on our mind lamp here. So I think Senor GP is very spiritual. I kind of get that feeling.
I think so.
Yeah. So anyway, we, you know, it's, Nick said, thank you so much, John. Yeah, you know, I was just trying to fix it, man. I saw what was happening. I'm going, I think I left enough of my gear on that I could swing a show. And, you know, by the time I got here, we had 2 minutes and I fired everything up and I fired it up in 1 minute, 30 seconds. I had all the equipment up, dialed in, had everything running. And we, just about the time it went live, I was just getting the microphone turned up and we were on, and I was like, okay. And then I dialed into your show and linked in, and we actually did the all of that. So that was great. So it was glad to help, and we learned something new in the process about linking shows. Last night's show, you know, I mean, some of you were not listening in earlier because you were listening in at Kathy's. But we had, after the show, we had here on the ranch all sorts of paranormal activity occur. We're back to the woman that's been hanging around. As soon as I lay down in bed, bang, all of a sudden here, all the talking starts. And we've had multiple people in our house start talking about this. And it was just crazy. And then Nancy was saying, oh, nothing ever happens at my house. And Nancy, tell them what happened.
Well, I was just sitting here and I happened to look up. And there was this, it must have been at least 4 feet tall, shadow just go across the wall that I'm facing in my room. And then I think it snuck around the corner and then went into the closet. And I thought, well, I'll never make that declaration again. And I just said, well, whoever you are, you're welcome to visit, you know, and nobody came back. But John was asking me earlier, you know, if I thought it was family, and I said, you know, I got a feeling it might have been my dad setting that up for me, because my dad was the type of guy that if I said, oh, blah, 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 never happens to me, he would have made it happen. He would make it happen. So I don't think it was my dad, but I think that my dad probably found somebody else and said, go over there, go over there. She says nothing ever happens. Just go over there and just float past her. So that's what I think it is now.
Yeah, I mean, we've had so much happen, you know, and it goes in cycles. You know, we're in this real hot phase right now. And one of the things that was really strange is when my dad passed, we had him cremated and we brought him home. And my father designed solid rocket fuel nozzles. His real specialty was nozzle design. You know, so it's a chamber where the engine actually, or the motor, a little lesson here, engines are liquids. You know, liquid-based, and motors are solid-based, you know, in the rocket world. And so my father worked in both. He really enjoyed doing that stuff. So when he passes, we're in there looking at all these urns, and, you know, the family's all distraught. And we're looking at, they go in the back and show us all the different possibilities, and there's all these frilly little urns. And I'm looking, I'm not impressed. You know, I'm going, none of this is like my father. I mean, I want something that says dad. And the guy says, what did he do? And I told him, and he says, come over here. And he takes us off to the left side of this little showroom. And we all gravitate right. Everybody looks, and I was the first one. I go, that's the one. And I said, it looks just like a solid rocket motor nozzle. And my mother goes, that's what I was looking at. And my sister, same way. So it was like a done deal. The guy says, I guess it's sold. And we're all, yep. So we put dad in this urn. And here's the weird part. It's this golden-colored looks like a rocket nozzle, and mm-hmm. it's got this nice top on it, and it's really cool. But we put it up in the in our den, and so he's like there with us all the time, and we've got his picture right next to it. And that thing is always way colder than the other everything around it. And so I started doing some tests on it with some of my paranormal gear. And I thought, well, Dad would have understand. I'm experimenting with him. So we started trying things, and we started having temperature fluctuations. I put a melmeter up to next to my dad's urn, and I started asking questions. And it was and I used the temperature alarm, and it seems like he's able to maneuver and manipulate temperature. So it's the darndest thing. I mean, we are able to get responses with the temperature. And then one night I was trying it out, and I had not turned on the temperature alims. I just was doing EMF sweep, you know, or an EMF baseline. And and normally up there in that particular corner, it's 0.0. Well, it started going up. You know, we were getting 2 milligauss, 3 milligauss. And then when I get up to walk towards it, it would drop. And then I'd just go sit down. And the minute I'd sit down, the reading would come back up. And I'm checking myself, going, if I got a cell phone on, is there anything I'm doing? Nothing was around that would have caused that. And it was just crazy. And it was like something my dad would do just to experiment. It was like I felt like he was testing it out, too, and trying to see what he can do. So, you know, and last night, I mean, you know, after the show, I went up there, and here it was. It was really cold again. The urn was just uber cold. So I was sitting there thinking, well, is he up to some kind of game? I mean, is there something he's up to? But I'm hearing a woman speaking, you know, and it sounds like, you know, some of the ladies in my family, the kind of tone that they have, you know, with my mother's side. So I don't know if it's a bunch of family members or what, but what I do know is we're getting a lot of this stuff that we can actually measure, you know, and the only area I haven't really gone into too much is EVP. I've never really done any serious EVP around the house, so... I think I may just set up an investigation one night and investigate the house.
Yes, at your house. At your house. You need to do that.
Yeah, you know what would be fun is to actually do it and then have it live on the air and play some of the EVPs back and see what we get and play it for you guys too, kind of live on scene kind of a thing. So
yes.
I might just do that, just do a laptop, right? You know, because my laptop, I think I can go ahead and just run with the microphone I have set up. I think I'd be able to run the show there. That'll work, sure. I mean, I can just run a laptop, broadcast there, grab the EVPs, jack them in, and pull. Yeah, I think we could pull it off. So I may try that, because it's really a hot time right now with what's going on. There's so much energy, and everybody's having everybody. I mean, I'll ask general audience out there. Are you guys having more paranormal activity than normal? Because it seems like, you know, Nancy's having these strange experiences suddenly. I'm going through a real spate here. And Kathy would host a show. That'd be cool, Kathy. I think we could pull that off. If we wanted to do that, you know, this coming Friday I am off, and it would be after New Moon. You know, I like the idea of a Friday night show. If you're up for that, Kathy, let me know, because we could do like an hour of the actual investigation, then break and then come back and talk, you know, kind of close up another hour talking about the evidence and playing stuff back and see what we get and tell stories about things, whatever comes up. So, yeah, I'll get with you, Kathy, and we'll set that up for Friday. Because I think that'll be a hoot to try that out. I know my mom would want me in on it. Have mom on the show too. You know, she can just sit there and call
interview
out and
your
and
mom.
Talk yeah, I mean, you would love some of the stories my mother has about spirits and ghosts that she's run into. I mean, she'll tell you a story about Grandma Bader's ghost. Grandma Bader was somebody in the town of Sterling City. Sterling City it still exists. It's an old logging town in the Sierras, and mm-hmm. very haunted. I don't think anybody's ever really seriously gone up there and really done a paranormal investigation. But I'll see if she'll tell everybody the story of the rocking chair that rocked itself every day, and everyone. It would rock at 4 o'clock every day. This rocking chair would rock by itself. And there's a love story behind that. So there's a love story about this rocking chair. But she's also had just many encounters and things she's seen over the years. You know, and she's 73, and she's the reason I'm doing this stuff, because she has the gift. And when I started having my first experiences, she didn't make fun of me. She didn't laugh at me. She just, that stuff we do. You know, everybody's got that in the family, It wasn't a big thing, you know, but I had to go find out more about it on my own. But the nice part was it was accepted. It was just like, this is just, you know, when I first started hearing spirits when I was out in the woods, we'd be fishing and, mm-hmm. We're big trout fishermen. I mean, and we don't just go to some lake. You know, when we do fishing in my family, it's like you go get your best boots on, you go dressed in earth tones. You have to move and walk a certain way around the water in the West Branch where we fish.
And you have to be quiet a lot.
Yeah,
and you have to be quiet a lot.
Yeah, we fish upstream. We cast ahead so that we're down low at the low point where you cast your fly forward, and mm-hmm. you let the bait come down. And there's usually a fish waiting towards the end of the hole where the water outlet is going and you fish hole by hole that way. And so that bait will present itself, and then these trout come up. Well, I was learning that all as a teenager, and I was about 14 or 15. I'm starting to hear spirits, you know, on the river, and I'm hearing voices calling, "Hey, John, you know, John." And I would hear like family members who I knew were past, and I'm going, "I'm hearing their voices. What's going on?" You know, and I'm sitting there cleaning. We were cleaning our trout at the end of this one. Fishing expedition, and we were at a place the family calls Timberslide. And so we're at Timberslide, and we're at a place I called the Moon Rocks, because it was all this, there's this big area where there's like all these craters, and it's an old lava flow there, and the water has cored out all these holes in the rock, and so you have to walk through what would look like craters to get to the water's edge, and then you can clean your trout. So we're cleaning the trout, and I bring it up to my mother. I says, "Do you ever notice that you sometimes maybe hear a voice out there?" And you know, and I start asking the questions, and she started to laugh at me. She says, "Oh, you're hearing them, huh?" And I said, "Well, yeah. What is this?" And she starts telling me that sometimes it's rocks moving around in the river. And I said, "Well, sometimes. What about the other? Not sometimes." Mm-hmm. And she says, "Well, sometimes you're hearing relatives. You're hearing spirits talking to you. Sometimes it's not anybody you know." But you say you're hearing relatives, and you know that would be them actually talking with you. So it was my first experience, you know, really understanding that, you know, spirits do speak, and we can sometimes hear them, you know. And it was just matter of fact. I mean, it put it to rest for me, and I was real cool about it until I was 17, when I was out of control, and my mother put me in our haunted house in Paradise,
and left me there for 3 months and didn't tell me I was in a haunted house. She really loved me. Yeah, I woke up, and I'm like having stuff sitting on the bed while I'm in bed, and then you would hear parties out in the living room, and I'm the only person there. I finally, about a month into this, you know, I tried not to call or anything. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, it got so bad, I freaked completely out of calling it. I called my mother, and I'm going, "You got to get me out of this insane asylum." And this stuff happens here, and everything. And she's laughing at me. She goes, "It's just family members. It's just the house speaking to you." And she calmed me down. And it was so funny because after that, in my uncle's room that he died in that home, suddenly a white light appears in his room. And the other room I was in was my great grandmother's room, and that's where all this stuff was happening. And so I moved to my great uncle's room, where he had passed away, and it was a real calm presence in there. And when I was in there, I always slept real deep, and most of the phenomena kind of died back a bit. You know, you can still hear stuff, things would still happen, but it was a lot less, it was a lot more muted. It was like he was kind of saying, "Hey, leave the kid alone." You know, he's kind of freaked out by what you're doing, you know. But, I mean, when you have a something actually sit on a bed that you're in, and it sits down next to you, and you see the imprint in the moonlight, you know, and you're not geared up for that, that will freak your ass out. I'm telling you, you know, it's just not normal.
I had a one time, this was several years ago, quite a few years ago. It was at night. I was on my bed. My kid was in her bed. And all of a sudden I heard this big boom. And I really wasn't asleep, you know. But anyway, I just got up and I tried to get up, and I couldn't move. My eyes were open. I could not move. I could not turn my head, and I didn't care about myself, but I was worried about my daughter, who was just probably like 6 or 7 in the other room, and
yeah.
I could not get out of bed. I couldn't move a muscle. I had tears running down my face because I thought, if I have to save her, I can't even do that, you know. And I can't remember if I just... if I said a prayer, like, "Please God help me, I want to help my daughter, you know, just unfreeze me," whatever it was, but then I was able to move. But it, you know, that the fact that I could not help her is the thing that really bothered me, because she was just a little kid, and we were the only two in the house, so, you know, what else could it have been? She was asleep, you know, I was in bed. That was kind of unnerving, you know.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. I thought it might have been something evil trying to show its force.
Is it the same place where you're at now?
Yep.
Wow. And so then
but
last
it,
night...
It
you,
has
you
not come back. Last night, whatever it was last night was okay. It was a light-colored shadow. The other one was like a black mass that just laid on top of me, and I could actually feel the pressure, and I couldn't move. And I still couldn't.
That's the thing that happened to my mother. My mother, when this thing, we had that case, and we came back, and the next morning after the case, my mother comes up to me and says, "You and I got to talk." And I go, "What?" And she starts telling me what happened, and I went, "Oh, boy." Yeah, and it really shook me up because I had a really bad vibe the minute I went in there, and
yeah.
You know, I got 10 steps in and I went, "This is a mistake. This case is a total mistake. You know, we shouldn't be here." And I knew, you know, we were going to have trouble. And when I got home, nothing happened, and I thought, "Oh, maybe we got away with it." And then the phone calls started coming in, all the same report. Everybody was being held down in bed by a black mass. I mean, and some of them were on their couch, laying there wide awake, and then this thing would actually come in broad daylight and mess with them, and hold them down and just terrify them. And so I was getting calls right and left, and I'm going, "Okay, wow, I think we need to," you know. And I made some inquiries, and that's how I found out with the black tourmaline and different protective techniques. Okay, here's what you need to do. If it doesn't get better, then we're going to have to step it up to get some intervention, you know, with religious authorities to get this dealt with. And it was not Yemen,
by any stretch of the imagination, but these things are out there. I mean, they are real. But
and
you know,
it happened to me once before. I think I was like about 16, and my sister and I shared a bedroom, and you know, we'd gotten into bed. I think she was asleep, and I, because I came in after she was falling asleep, and I got in bed, and my bed was like right under windows, and I was just, you know, kind of like, you know, I wasn't falling asleep. I was just thinking. And all of a sudden, as dark as that room was, there was something much darker that just came in through the door, which was closed, or through the door, and kept swirling around the room and swirling around the room and swirling around the room. And then that's when I felt it. It felt like somebody pulled covers over my head. My covers did go up, but I had my hands at the top of them. But I was holding them from being put over my head with all my might. And I felt the pressure of a weight on me, and that scared me. But then I invoked the name of God, and as soon as I said his name, the name of God, I was pushing down on these covers while this, whatever this thing was, pushing it up, and my hands just slammed the covers down. I mean, it released, and I said, well, then I know what side of the fence you're on, buddy. So you know, why he came, or it, or whatever, I'll never know.
And that's what my mother did. She invoked the name of God, and she called it every horrible name in the book, and told it to get out of her house, and she ordered it out, and it backed off, and it stood there a long time. She said it stood there and stared at her a long time, and then finally it left, and she stayed awake the rest of the morning, you know, and that's, you know, about 4 hours later, you know, she ran into me, and then she has strong talk with me about bringing stuff home. So your little case is bringing something home to the house. You guess what kind of night I had? You know, it was like, and it was the same thing. You know, at first she was terrified, and then she got mad. And it does seem like when you get mad and you fight back, and then you bring the name of God into the equation, that, you know, it seems to just push these things back. So they're out there. But, you know, there's something, too, with sleep paralysis. Somebody else said that in the chat room about sleep paralysis. And that is part of it. There's, you know, there are circuits in our bodies that when we go to sleep, you know, I think all of us have seen pets, you know, when they're asleep and they have a dream, and you'll see a dog running, you know, sleeping there in his bed.
Yeah.
Just, you know, that's the circuits are not quite working properly in those animals. Usually in humans, we have those circuits in place that put us into a state of paralysis to keep us from hurting ourselves while we dream, because we would act out. So it sort of disconnects our neurology from actually working while we're dreaming, and we're going through these experiences. We could actually physically injure ourselves. So it seems like it's evolved those systems in place to deal with that. Now, some people can kind of go into a state of in between. They're partly in a dream and they're partly not. So some of that is that, but what you're describing is so common with so many other, you know, cases I've run into, and people I know, you know, I'm here now, I've got another person I know that's had the same thing happen, you know, that it is this, you know, it's this strange, you know, dark energy that comes in and is just screwing with you. And for whatever reason, you know, they're out there, you know, but if you show strength and fight back, it tends to drive it back. You know, and then you could take the, but you know, then you take and do the protection work, you know, sage the house. You know, it's like I'm back in my place, my old place. I'm going back in there now, and I started saging it, and I'm going in now, and I'm easing it back into there, because it's you know, there's a bunch of spirits back on the north side of my property where they pretty much had the run of that place for a while now, and I haven't been in there because of the, you know, all the death and the things that have happened. So I'm just going in and putting my energy. I burned a white candle in there the other day. I'm blowing air through. I go in every day and do something different. And I'm just taking it back over, you know. But I'm not going in and just saying, you know, coming in, I'm in charge. I'm easing back in, and I'm showing my dominance over that space. And it's going to move anything in there back out. I was having some trouble in there just before Dad passed. We were having the voices were starting over there. So we had all this stuff going on, and so it's been a continuing theme. But, for those, I mean, that are having these experiences, that's the thing to do. If you run into this, use the name of God, start invoke that, fight back and claim your space. And then the other thing is, start saging, and do all, have the house blessed, whatever you can do, but don't do it, just do it once, do it multiple times. This is like, having the oil changed in the car, like changing, having a bath every day. And it's a good idea, spiritual cleanliness involves, keeping your house clean and the seals charged up on the house, and making sure that this is all continuing. It's not just a one-time thing. So anyway, nobody's called in yet, so we're just going to – we've got 23 minutes remaining. I can't believe we've done a two-hour show already. It's kind of just on the fly. I mean, I didn't even plan anything. Oh, my God, we got Denise in Florida is here. I see you out there.
Yes.
And Denise is out there. How are you doing, my dear? Phoenix Lighthouse is here. I see you. I think I've seen you once before. Who else is joining us? Vicky's out there.
Vicky
is here. So we got a bunch of nice folks have joined us. And I think, Kathy sits here and says, I think these alignments as well as eclipses are helping and amping up the spirit world as well as the veil is almost non-existent now. I would agree with that. We were talking about that. And Vicky says, we still love you, John. Oh, thanks. It's good to be loved. Thank you. it's funny. I really think that all this strange energy with all the astronomical alignments and stuff is kicking it up, and the solar activity is just off the scale. Solar eclipse number 25, and it's crazy energy coming off the sun. So, I was asking it, and I'm not sure I saw anybody in the chat room pop in with anything, but are you all having? Are any of you having more spiritual activity than normal right now? So I'll really kind of watch for those responses. Pop that in there. Just say yes, and just a short sentence about what you're having happen. Now, Carrie is talking. She had something that she had to clear out of her. She ran into some case that she had to deal with, some energy that was going on out in her area of the world in South Africa. And you and I both had stuff going on. Kathy's computer seems to be possessed because it knocks her show off the air. So we were doing that.
Electrical things.
We had electrical stuff going on, and it was weird. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think of, is there anybody else? Yes, nobody's jumping. Okay, Kathy says yes more. Rihanna says yes. No, well, God, Kathy, is it short enough? No, tell us what it is. Tell me what it is so I can talk about it with you. Or call in. You can call in. My PC was possessed last week. It was repossessed. Didn't pay. Had to reformat. Denise is saying hi, John. Kathy's laughing at me. Okay, we got a 2-1. We got a 213. We have a caller. Can you do the Ghostbusters thing where she says, we got one? Can you do that for me, Nancy?
We got one? Is that how I do it? I don't know. We got one, John. We got one. Yay.
We got a caller. We got a caller at 213. Oh, is 213 on me for this? Hello.
Right here. How's it going, Brother John? This is a senior GP.
Senior.
How you doing?
Senior GP. How's it going, man?
Real good, brother, real good. And, hey, it's a beautiful day out here. You're in California too, right, John?
Yep, I'm in town of Shingle Springs. We're on Highway 50, midway between Sacramento and South Lake Tahoe.
Oh, you're up north then. Yeah, I'm in Southern California. I'm down there in the San Gabriel Valley. Yeah, slash Orange County, slash everything. We're like in the borderline of everything here. And it's warm right now. It's beautiful weather outside. They're really, really nice. But you're speaking of the paranormal and all that. And as you know, yes, I am a very spiritual individual. Religion, I don't really get into. I do. I was raised Roman Catholic, of course. I consider myself Christian, born-again Christian. But religion, let's face it, man created religion, not God. So I stick with God. I mean, that's my thing. I believe in God, and I stay with that. And if you want to debate religion or talk religion, that's cool, but I'm not going to be arguing or even arguing about it or debating about God. But as far as the paranormal goes, that is a a subject that is starting to change because man, as we know it, gets their hands on everything and screws everything up like they do with a harp and these hologram type of things, which is different, you know, pictures and visions that they give you that you think, wow, I saw an angel and it's man doing the holograms. Or you get a freak storm and it's them with a heart machine. The man is basically screwing up this world, let's face it. And we're in dire times. We're in a situation where the world's kind of really shaky. A lot of prayers probably wouldn't hurt. Definitely would help. Believing in God, definitely people, if it came down to it, man or God, you know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven, brother, because I ain't going to be around when man gets jacked up. But the paranormal thing, they're starting to do a lot of those hologram things. So, folks, when you're out there by yourself or with your family or out there in the night and you see something, remember, man's playing their little tricks again. They're doing little things that they shouldn't be doing. And they'll do it with the clouds. So they'll do it. You might be sitting in your porch or in the front porch or just walking down the road and all of a sudden, wow, did you see that? Be careful. How do you know the difference? In your heart. You speak to your Savior, your Creator, God the Father Almighty. Lord, is that you? Or is that man again playing tricks on us? If it happens in your home, the devil, Satan, the fallen angels, whichever name you gave them, they're here playing tricks on us all the time. Always trying to trick us to believe that it's something else where it isn't. Again, you put your faith in God, your trust in God. As far as I'm concerned, I not only speak to the dead brother, I walk with the dead every day. And last night was a party and a half. These guys were around me. I went to the movies, they were around me. I went to the restaurant, the theater, they were around me. They followed me. I come home at night to sleep. I'm looking in that mirror. It's like shadows blocking the mirror left and right. And I'm just like, okay, guys, I need a little break. I get down, I say some prayers, brother. Talk to my God. They disappeared. The devil's always, always testing us to see, to make him believe that, hey, this is your God. No. We only have one God, brother. Remember that. We got to believe. We got to have that belief system, that faith system. But before you do all this, you got to believe in yourself. Once you got that down, you go straight to God and say, Father, here I am. And man, oh man, giving yourself to the Lord. Woo. That is something. You will never, never live in fear, but you will always live in peace. Thank you, Brother John.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Greg. Great show, brother. You always have a good show, and I always try to get to your show, and then I get, you know, sidetracked with somebody. Kathy's has a show or somebody else, but you guys are good, and you guys are right on target what you're talking about in your old chat room and everybody. Right on, brother. You know?
Okay,
right
well, thank you. Well, it's good to hear from you, my friend.
All right, brother.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of the things I was talking about earlier about the black things, those masses and everything, that was before I really became aware of a spiritual side and how to protect myself. And now it's not so much a matter of protection. It's a matter of, I think, like I could call it incorporation. Of goodness. I'm trying to really lead my life on the right path, and I'm not preaching. I'm just telling you what I'm doing, and I've really been in touch with some higher spirits, and I had a very, very moving experience the other day. I was walking to the store, and I was thinking about, you know, there's all these religions out there, these all these belief systems, and I'm thinking, you know what, I don't know if you can hear me, you know, God, but I am just trying to do the best that I can, and sometimes it's hard. And I stopped dead in my tracks, and right in front of my face was this big, white, brilliant energy, and it, I don't know if the gender of it was a big face. And it was the most beautiful face I'd ever seen. And it was smiling, and it was gentle, and it was full of love, you know. And I'm here I am saying, you know,
I just want to be on your side. I'm on your team. I want to be on your side. I want your love. You know, this is what I'm
right.
having this mental exchange. And all of a sudden, in loud words in my head, this person, this entity said to me, "Well, who could not love you?"
Mm-hmm.
And there
Everybody
I am.
Loves you, Nancy.
In the parking lot of Lucky's, looking around with tears coming down my face. And I said, "Well, you got me in your back pocket. That's it, you know." And yeah, I was questioning, am I doing everything the right way? It's not that. It's like what Senior says. You have to know, you can fool anybody you want to, but you have to know what's in your heart. And if you
right.
lead the good life, you try to do the best that you can. Not only is it going to get you in, through the pearly gates or wherever you think you're going, it's going to be your protection against a lot of evil stuff that's out there. If you don't think about the evil stuff, the less you talk about it, the less you think about it, the less you're going to experience it. Just keep that good flowing through. And so but that's the one. Now, if you want to say that's paranormal, I don't know what that was, but that was so heavenly and so paranormal
right.
and such a heavy type of presence, it actually stopped
right.
me right in my tracks. So anyway,
yeah,
I just
yeah.
wanted to throw that in. That's a
yeah,
good thing.
Yeah, I think we use that term paranormal right now to kind of replace, you know, what we're actually seeing. It's you know, we get to the paranormal because there's so many different things that are so unexplainable that we really can't explain and define. So we use that term paranormal, which is like psychic mediums. Everybody has a title for something. But we're all spiritual. We're all gifted. And we all see what we see, and we all share with each other. And I'm not here to preach, you know, hallelujah and all that stuff. I just believe in God. I don't get into the religion part of it because it's like whatever, you know. But, you know, I call it paranormal. I'm really into the paranormal. I see a lot of things. Every day I see them, and I experience it. And I guess they're I'm being tested every day. But I share with people, and I reach out to people. I say, hey, look, be careful with this, be careful with that, because people always have their stories and their experiences and their visions. And it's always good to talk about it and share, but let's face it, when it all happens supposedly, God's the only being that we have to turn to. He'll never turn his back on you. God the Father is with us. He's protecting us 24/7, and that's the kind of protection we need now from this all this weird stuff that's kind of like going on right now. Paranormal is another title, that's why I threw that in there, but I like that paranormal world or that title. It's really cool, and I can really get into it.
Yeah,
but hey, John,
I
go ahead.
It's very interesting, and I'm the type of person that's out to learn as much as I can about everything. Like I'm really going to accomplish it, you know. But that's I am very hungry for information, and so I don't discount that, because I think that some of the spiritual stuff is leading a lot of us down this path, you know, whether we realize it or not. But I was just really amazed by that out of all the other kind of experiences. That was so nice to know that I guess I'm on the right path. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Okay, guys?
That's great. That's great. If you're in the right path, I'm on the right path. Hey, we're on the right path. John's going to be out there with us, everybody. We're all going to be doing our thing, and it's all positive. And that's what we need to share and spread the word. Hey, you know what? It's let's get ready for a battle, brothers and sisters. And as long as we're in God's sight, we ain't going to lose. I'll tell you that much. Peace, everybody. Thank you, John.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that happens, I mean, you know, when I do the readings on the show, you know, I mean, like you heard two of them yesterday where we were really bringing family through. And it was,
yeah.
And that's, you know, I mean, I get the psychic meet, you know, the psychic stuff where we come in. And that's something that is going to be part of the show. And, yeah, there, you know, what do you see for me questions, you know? Those are always difficult because I do so much better when we're connecting up to real spirits that are coming through, that are trying to get a message of love, you know, through to someone that's grieving on the other, you know, on this side of the veil, and wanting to connect that up. And that's the real, that is spiritual. That's love. That's what this is about. When you're fascinated with the paranormal, just because it's a phenomenon, that's where I think that some groups, some paranormal teams get off kind of in the weeds, and you ask them, why are you doing this? And they'll look at you and, well, I'm getting evidence. And then, well, what are you going to do with it after that? And then they don't know. And finally, I think they come to it on their own. They'll either quit doing it or they'll go into spirit rescue and do some of the things that are the reason why we do this. You know, it's one thing to get, you know, some great EVPs, and we all love doing that. But when you're doing real work with this, you're doing, you're connecting people together, you know, some that have a body, some that don't. And you're really bringing through that they have survived and that you have real knowledge. And I know in my own heart that the other side exists. I mean, heaven exists out there. I mean, I've run into it too often. And, you know, and I'm and I was like Roman Catholic myself. And then, you know, but I found that I did not like the part where I had to kneel constantly to some guy in between me and God. I found that to be abhorrent. It just bothered the hell out of me. And I kept asking too many questions until they threw me out. They were like, you know, get out of here.
Yep.
And suddenly I realized, you know, it's like it's between me and God. And that's what makes sense to me. And I can live with that. And the nice part is that I've just seen it so often now where I've had these amazing, you know, spiritual encounters. And Kathy can tell you, I mean, I remember the night in January 1st, 2010, I got an EVP from angels. I mean, I looked at angels and went, yeah, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, yeah, that's what a bunch of BS, angels. And then it's like I got EVPs from some. And they were really powerful, and they kicked my butt. And now I believe.
You saw some.
They're out there.
Then you had a couple at the ranch.
Yeah, I mean, I've had direct face-on encounters with things here that just blow my mind. And, I everybody has their certain ways of looking at it. I haven't given up on human beings yet. I know, you know, that we do have a tendency to break a lot of things, you know, because we're like a bull in a china shop. But there are those who learn. And I think that the species is coming along to realize that, hey, you know, we can't be everything. We can't have everything we want. We have to learn to limit ourselves a little bit. And by the way, there's a lot more out there than we realize. And we're going to be humbled by it. If we don't choose to do it for ourselves, someone else or something else will do it for us. So, you know, I like what I'm doing because it's exploring. And you're facing the unknown, and you go right into it. And the only thing you have right in other than a few instruments is yourself and the love in your heart. And that's to me what the paranormal is we face the unknown. And so often we come back, we end up learning things about history that really happened that are not in the books. And we learn about real people who've lived and really want to get their message out. And that's what matters. And that's why we do it. Yeah.
And another thing that I've come to appreciate an awful lot lately is that no matter what side of the veil you're on, no matter what species you are, you know, we are all interrelated on this planet right now. We are all living organisms that are interrelated as far as how we get through life and work our way through this world, through this life. And we need to just appreciate that. And I know people might scratch their heads when they're walking past me down the street and I'm saying, hello, bird. I love birds. And, you know, I'll talk to animals anywhere I find them. You know, why should we discount them? We're all living beings. We are all living beings. We were put here for a reason, and we all are very important to each other, whether we realize it or not. And so I like to acknowledge them all, whether they're on this side of the veil or the other side of the veil or floating around in the cosmos or being a shadow across my wall.
I was just walking up to deal with the sprinklers today, and I've got a squirrel who is a fun. This squirrel's a hoot. He's a little baby squirrel, and he's just young, you know, he's just fresh out of the nest. He's trying to figure out what's what. And he's found it, and he knows I'm not going to hurt him. So he'll let me walk right up on him. And the squirrel then will run for the tree. He runs for the tree, you know, and it's like a, you know, it's like I could reach over and pick him up if I wanted, you know. And he runs for this little pine tree, and he just sits there and looks at me. And he peeks, and then he tries to hide himself and put his head out just so he can see me with one eye. And I'm going, dude, I'm not going to even hurt you. I mean, but what it was funny. One day I was walking up, and my mother had did her first outing with the car, and I was running up to get the gate to open, a gate to let her in. And she honked the horn a couple of times, so I go out. And I see her, and I start walking up, and here's the squirrel, and he's in front of me. So he's running like 2 feet ahead of me the entire way, and he's stopping and looking back at me and then running, and he's got his tail on a fuzz. And I keep on, you know, and finally he runs all the way to the gate right up to the front of my car, my mother's car, and my mother couldn't resist. She laid on the horn. And he went completely up in the air. He's just freaking out. And he runs, and he ran into the fence, hit the fence, bounces off, and then he runs around and under and headed for an oak tree. I never saw a squirrel run that quick before. But the poor little guy, he ran and bam, hit the fence, and like, whoa. And my mother's sitting there howling. I'm going, and my mother comes back and says, I felt so bad. He ran into the fence. <You're a dumbass. laughs> But, you know, they have a real spirit. And it's funny, I talk to them all the time, too. And Native Americans often refer to, you know, Brother Eagle. You know, they talk about all the different, and they'll talk to them that way. And they have, they actually have even learned some of the language that they speak, and they can speak their language a little bit. And so, you know, acknowledge the creatures that live with us, because God put them here, and they're in this game with us too, for a reason. So, you know, love them all. But God, we have been through an entire show here. I've got 2:48. We're going to be on Friday then. I'll get something together with Kathy to do an investigation of my home. We'll see if we can get some evidence and play it on air for everybody. Kathy can run the show, and that's going to be great to have some technical support. So we'll do the show that way, and then I'll be loading evidence up and analyzing it right there on air with you guys, and you can be part of my investigation of my own ranch, and we'll see if we get any EVPs. So
and don't forget the interview with your mom.
You have to have an interview with your mom. Yeah, I'll talk it over with her. You know, because I can just bring the laptop right in and put a microphone on her and you know hook her up with some headphones and turn her loose, and you guys will really like some of the stories she's got. So I'll sell this tonight and see how she goes with this. She's very self-conscious, and I have to tell her, Mom, it's just like talking to a bunch of friends at a party. You know, don't worry about it. There's only 100 of them this time. Yeah, no big deal. So anyway, this is Soul Stream. We got 1:35. Nancy, thanks for coming on with me on short order.
Thank you.
I appreciate it as always. So you're my good co-host. Let's see, we got Kathy. Kathy's Distant Echoes, Eden 44, Jeannie Marie, Nancy Mum. Hello, Nancy Mum.
Hello.
Nancy Sky. We got another Nancy Mum in the Sky. Nancy in the Sky with Diamonds. Rihanna,
right.
Rod and Krill, Senior GP, Vicky Kalak out there in the wilds of the Northern California mountains, and X Curry X out there in South Africa. Thank you all for being here and being part of Soul Stream. And so I'm going to go ahead and wind it down with a little bit of Fly Away. Here we go. Actually, I'd like this one. See you guys later. Here we go.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.
In clover, the night.